What is the connection between a deer or a stag and the sun and a partially closed hand? Think about that for a moment as I welcome you to episode 6 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with a podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. The emphasis for both is on connections between the energies of the calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. For anyone new to this, you can find a brief overview to this timekeeping system in episode 1. Again, at the core of this system is a cycle of 260 days that represents interconnections between 20 unique solar forces in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days called a Zolkin. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique, and every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. Those energies greatly influence how people see and interact in the world. Both the blog and the podcast follow the Mesoamerican calendrical tradition of timekeeping involving tricenas, 13-day periods that represent particular energetic themes, for a total of 20 different tricena periods within a 260-day cycle. I'm going to let you tuck that question about the deer, sun, and hand into the back of your mind for a bit longer while we get a bearing on where we are. When the last tricena began, it was just 2 days after the death of George Floyd, and the theme of that tricena was transformation. That was the Ish tricena, aligned with the transformation-oriented energies of the Jaguar. And I mentioned that the Jaguar is often a muse for people who, having reached their limit in some way, might be compelled to become Jaguar warriors, fearlessly heading into battle for particular causes. As the tricena began, it was evident that the Jaguar was starting to roar. And as it turned out, it was a roar that has been reverberating around the world, calling for enormous change in terms of how people are treated, not only within the justice system, but just overall. Intolerance on every level is now in the spotlight as millions demand fairer treatment and worldwide equality. It was heartening to see that by the end of the tricena, U.S. House and Senate Democrats had already managed to unveil a sweeping new police reform bill, termed the Justice in Policing Act, that seeks to ban chokeholds, limit qualified immunity for police officers, create a national misconduct registry, end the use of no-knock warrants in drug cases, and make lynching a federal crime, among other changes. This bill, co-sponsored by over 200 Democrats in the U.S. House and Senate, is the most wide-ranging effort to rewrite federal laws on policing in decades. Just before the news conference where this proposal was announced, it was impressive to see 80-year-old Nancy Pelosi kneel, motionless, on a hard marble floor, along with other Democratic lawmakers, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, in silent tribute to George Floyd. While it was not at all surprising to see significant protests over the dreadful killing of George Floyd, it was amazing to see thousands and thousands of people in cities all over the world risking their lives day after day at the time of a global pandemic in order to get out there and make their voices heard. It was as if the risk of becoming ill from the virus was less of an issue than allowing racism and police brutality to continue on unchecked the way it has been for far too long. With regard to the pandemic, statistics are showing that over 1.5 million new cases of COVID-19 have been reported from the start of the last Tresina to the start of this one, a rate that has increased considerably since the previous 13-day period that saw an increase of about 1 million at that time. The worldwide count is fast approaching 7.5 million, and over this past 13 days, over 50,000 more people have died from it. Some 300,000 more cases have been registered in the U.S., bringing their total number to well over 2 million. Over 115,000 people have died from it in that country alone. Just going into this, Tresina, it was reported that 22 states have shown a significant increase in numbers, as much as 46% in some areas, since the Memorial Day weekend that brought crowds out to beaches and other areas, with many people ignoring the social distancing guidelines. And that was before the protest demonstrations really got going. And just a few minutes ago, a New York doctor predicted that there could be another 100,000 deaths in that country by September. The situation in Brazil continues to be particularly dire, as the number of cases there has almost doubled in the past couple of weeks, bringing them to over 750,000, the second highest position in the global number of cases. In that country, there were over 33,000 new cases yesterday and over 1,300 deaths just on that day from COVID-19. The number of cases in both Russia and India are also rapidly climbing. Fortunately, the numbers are stabilizing somewhat in Europe and many countries are gradually reopening. But many Latin American countries such as Peru, Chile, and Mexico are showing steady increases, and some countries such as Iran have returned to peak levels. Venezuela still seems to be hidden from view in this regard. That country is apparently under quarantine, but the question might be asked, might they have done what Brazil's Bolsonaro tried to do a few days ago when he stopped releasing Brazil's numbers for the coronavirus and wiped an official site clean of data? That move in Brazil didn't last long, however, as the Supreme Court quickly intervened and ordered the government to resume publishing full COVID-19 data. Kudos to New Zealand for being declared virus-free a couple of days ago. Okay, let's get back to that question that I asked. What is the connection between a deer or stag and the sun and a partially closed hand? The answer to this question is both simple and complex. In its simplest form, these are all symbols associated with the Manique day sign, represented in many ancient Mesoamerican cultures as a deer, or just the head of a deer. The Maya generally represented this day sign as a clenched hand that contains the sun, an image sometimes referred to as sun in hand. From the perspective of the deer, this is an energy that symbolizes the sacred balance among the forces of nature needed to sustain and nourish life. Within Native American hunting traditions, for example, there is a kind of reciprocal interplay between hunter and prey, whereby the hunt is carried out in a sacred manner, with the permission and cooperation of the deer, on the understanding that the deer's giveaway of its own life will be treated wisely and respectfully. The deer gives its life on condition that nothing is wasted. Its life would be given to sustain other lives through the careful and wise use of all it had to give. Within that ancient tradition, the deer is a source of life, and thus had to be treated with reverence. Similarly, the sun is the source of life, the generative power that is central to the promulgation of life, and the deer was seen as a carrier for the sun. In Aztec mythology, an ancestral creator couple, known as Lord and Lady Wundir, were seen as the original source of all sustenance and fertility. This can also be seen in a central Mexican legend that tells of the two-headed deer that was shot and impregnated by Mixcoatl, the god of the Milky Way and the hunt. In this legend, the deer transforms into a woman who gives birth to the great life-generating deity Quetzalcoatl, who in turn was instrumental in the creation of humankind. So the deer is really connected to all forms of life and can even be seen in images where a deer is marked by symbols of all 20 of the calendrical day signs. In classical Maya iconography, this day sign is depicted as a hand holding the sun, symbolically representing the hand of the great creator deity known as Izamna, who was the patron of the scribal arts, the sacred calendar, divination, and esoteric knowledge, as well as being associated with agricultural fertility and curing. Also connected with this day sign is Buluk Jabtan, the god of number 11, an earth deity known as the lord of forests, deer, and hunting. Within his name is the verb chab, meaning do penance or sacrifice, possibly connecting with the kind of sacrifice that ties in with the deer's giveaway to provide life-giving sustenance. However, this same verb generally means to create, and by extension ties in with the idea of strong creativity and generative powers. The overall meaning relates to such things as change, inspiration, and regeneration. The Maya concept of manzal ik manik, meaning passing through spirit to overcome death, also ties in with this idea. This concept is representative of energies that both sustain and inaugurate or shape life. The symbolism not only reflects the original energies of creation itself, but points to the importance of maintaining balance and harmony in dealings with the world in general. It has to do with the sacred rhythm of life and the concept of respectful give and take in order to honor and sustain abundance. It also ties in with the idea of self-sacrifice for the greater good, and even the idea of offering oneself in the interest of shaping new possibilities. Here, I think I should point out a kind of a convergence of manic forces that are in play right now. Firstly, January 1st, 2020 came in on a day called Ten Manik, which is kind of like foundational reciprocity or sacred balance. So this might have been a kind of heads up for what was to follow. The 10 part really brings things right down to bare bones foundations in conjunction with the deer. This is the same energy that was in place in June of 1922 when more than 3,000 black people staged a silent protest in Washington, D.C. to demand an end to lynchings. And now, 98 years later, a law to make lynching a federal crime has still not been passed. Having hit the Republican stone wall, currently known as the Senate, where everything that the Democrats have been trying to do have piled up and probably will remain unaddressed until that wall is blasted away. Nevertheless, it is part of the new police reform bill, so hopefully it will finally get passed, even if they have to wait until January. Secondly, we're now in the Monique Tresina. So we have 13 days for that Monique energy to wash through this period, as the energy that kicks off any Tresina is the energy that works with and influences all the other days within the time frame. And thirdly, and I think very, very importantly, given what's going on right now and with all the attention surrounding the death of George Floyd, he was born under the influence of Monique on a day when the sun itself was working with the energy of Monique. So he was carrying as his personal, internal, guiding energy a kind of sacrificial, double sun force aligned with the idea of generating change and shaping a new way of being. He may not have realized it when he was still in this world, since, as Reverend Al Sharpton said at his funeral on Tuesday's One Monique, he was a, quote, unquote, an ordinary brother from Houston's housing projects who, quote, nobody thought much about, unquote. But Reverend Sharpton then said that, quote, God took the rejected stone and made him the cornerstone of a movement that's going to change the whole wide world, unquote. He was laid to rest on that day in a gold coffin that had been pulled to the cemetery by a horse-drawn white carriage, with his name on the lips of millions of people around the world, all calling for change. Later that day, one of his best friends said in an interview on CNN that he remembered that George had said at age 17 that he wanted to touch the world. How could he have ever imagined the extent to which that came to be? Ultimately, this Monique-born individual has touched the world profoundly, provided spiritual sustenance and hope for hundreds of millions. It was very impressive to see over the past few days how peaceful so many of the demonstrations were, almost as if George Floyd was guiding them and reminding them of the importance of sacred balance, that significant change can come through gentle but dedicated and impassioned action. So it will be interesting to see where and how Monique will influence things as we go through the rest of this 13-day period. So let's get on with looking at some of the days, starting with One Monique on June the 9th, the day of the funeral. Most people have, of course, given up on any thought that anything but vileness will come from the current administration in the White House and its so-called leader. But Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, not only met with the family the day before, but attended the funeral through video messaging, where he emphasized that people cannot leave this moment and think that they can turn away from racism again. He said several times, "We must not turn away." His comments set a unifying tone, a hopeful note in the midst of an event that was triggered by a tragedy associated with long simmering injustices. While the funeral was underway, masses of people were gathering, for the 15th straight day of demonstrations calling for systemic justice and equality. I mentioned in the blog that the third day of this period, June 11th, which is 3 Muluk, the activation of water, is often a powerful, shape-shifting type of force. This was in place when the Cuban Missile Crisis started in late October of 1962, and also in place at the time of the tragic death of Princess Diana in 1997. Both of those events stopped everyone in their tracks. I've spoken before about calendar round returns in the Maya calendar. The realignment of all the number plus day and number plus month energies after a 52-year period, a kind of energy anniversary that can bring in echoes from the past. In earlier podcasts, I've also commented on the fact that we are now going through the calendar round returns of the exact energies that were in place 52 years ago in 1968. So for 3 Muluk, we have coming into place the calendar round return of energies that were in place when the human rights-oriented Resurrection City encampment in Washington was closed down by police that year. A huge camp had been set up with permission for 3,000 people on the Washington Mall by Ralph Abernathy and his Southern Christian Leadership Corps after the death of Martin Luther King Jr. as part of the Poor People's Campaign, a significant human rights rally in aid of the poor with the intent to achieve economic justice for them. The encampment had stayed up for 6 weeks before they were forced to close it down. This was a campaign that sought to address poverty by dramatizing the needs of the poor, whoever they were, of whatever race. They were asking the federal government to prioritize helping the poor with a $30 billion anti-poverty package that included, among other demands, a commitment to full employment, provision for guaranteed annual income, and more low-income housing. In his efforts to force politicians to truly see the poor and come to understand their needs, Martin had encouraged people to come to Washington in mule carts, in old trucks, any kind of transportation they could get their hands on. He encouraged them to sit down if necessary in the middle of the street and say, "We are here. We are poor. We don't have any money. You have made us this way, and we have come to stay until you do something about it." I'm sure he would have been proud of the 6-week effort made by those who did not forget those words after his death. During the time that the encampment was in place, conditions were often miserable. And then came the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, who was becoming such a resolute voice for economic justice. A couple of weeks before the encampment was closed, Kennedy's funeral procession stopped in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and thousands of people, including many from Resurrection City, stood in the rain to pay their respects and sing the battle hymn of the Republic. No doubt they would be thrilled to see the massive demonstrations that are going on right now in this huge enough is enough call for justice and social reforms. 3 Muluk is also the return of the energies that were in place in 1968 when the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Day riots took place in Montreal, when Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau was reviewing the Saint-Jean-Baptiste parade. Quebec separatists had been warning that they would stage large-scale protests and demonstrations against Mr. Trudeau's presence at the parade. And unfortunately, they did. And it was not peaceful by any means. The parade was being televised and the violence was seen by millions across Canada when the parade and the news was shown. During the foray, two bottles that were flung towards Trudeau exploded inches away from him, and people who had been sitting near him scattered. But Trudeau did not flinch, and people across the country applauded him for his courage. The incident took place the day before a federal general election in which Trudeau was facing the voters for the first time as Liberal leader. As it turned out, his bravery that day seemed to help a lot because he led the Liberals to a majority win on that Four Oak election day, which was right after Three Malouk. That was a burner day within this calendrical system. I should also mention that Pierre was born on a Monique day as well. Not within this Trissina, but on a Monique day. So it seems like this Monique Trissina was functioning as an ally for him, helping to protect him during that incident and helping him at the time of the election. The third calendar round return that comes in on Three Malouk at this time is the return of the energies that were in place in 1968, when U.S. President Lyndon Johnson requested a bill from Congress requiring the registration of every gun in the United States and the licensing of every individual entrusted to use one, which resulted in the Gun Control Act of 1968. It seems that the new police reform bill that the Democrats are now working on is following in the footsteps of that important step forward. So, heads up at this time. As I said, this is an exact calendar round return of these energies. More about this calendar round idea can be seen in the post titled Maya Calendar Rounds and Aztec New Fires in the MCA blog on my mayacalendararts.com site. On Saturday, June 13th, the energy of Five Xuan comes in, with Xuan symbolized by a monkey. This can be a kind of a monkey business sort of energy, often aligned with creativity, but sometimes marked by mischievousness. As noted in my blog, the disruptor in chief will again be monkeying around with people's lives on that day, since he insists on giving a graduation speech at West Point Military Academy in New York, in New York State, despite the social distancing guidelines given by Governor Cuomo for a state that has the highest number of COVID-19 cases and death tolls in the country. It's also being criticized as a political move that is abhorrent to many, as the code of conduct at West Point is that a cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those that do. And yet, for their graduation, which their parents and friends are not permitted to attend, they're being forced to listen to someone who does all of that seemingly on a daily basis. The last time this energy was in place, last September, hundreds of thousands of students in at least 150 countries took part in what was called an International Earth Strike, a Fridays for Future global general climate action strike, with Five Xuan falling on a Saturday this time. It is likely that the massive rallies that we've been seeing over the past few days will be back again, as the issues themselves are certainly not going to be quickly resolved. We may well see more huge demonstrations on June 16th as well, which will be another Jaguar Day, a special Maya day traditionally devoted to the celebration of the earth and its sacred mysteries. This will be the first Gregorian anniversary of the massive Hong Kong march last year, when some 2 million people flooded the center of that city in the largest mass protest against the controversial extradition bill. Jaguar warriors will no doubt be back on the streets at that time, hopefully for peaceful demonstrations. It's evident that large-scale demonstrations will continue to be the order of the day as we go through this period, with some of the most intense energies coming in during the higher number days, such as Nine Men, which is an eagle warrior kind of energy that can have long-range consequences. This was what was in place in 1997 at the time of the funeral of Princess Diana. And also in January of last year, on the day when David Loffman, the former chief of the DOJ's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section, warned that, guess who, is a, quote, clear and present danger, unquote, to the national security of the U.S. Even back then, two cycles ago, Loffman was putting in a strong call, quote, for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country, to demand accountability, unquote. It was a call to arms for people to express what they think about what's going on at the highest levels. Nine Men was the Maya birth energy of Lester B. Pearson, the feisty Canadian statesman and diplomat who was the Prime Minister of Canada during the mid-1960s. Prior to becoming Prime Minister, he had won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1957 for organizing the United Nations Emergency Force to resolve the Suez Canal crisis. As Canada's 14th Prime Minister, his Liberal government introduced universal health care, the Canada Student Loan Program, the Canada Pension Plan, the Order of Canada, and the Maple Leaf Flag. He also managed to unify Canada's armed forces and convened the Royal Commission on Bilingualism and Biculturalism, as well as keeping Canada out of the Vietnam War. He's seen as one of the most influential Canadians of the 20th century. And from the perspective of the Maya calendar, an exemplar example of someone who worked very well with the potential of his very consequential Nine Men visionary influential eagle energy in conjunction with the energy of the Monique Tresina. Let's go to Tan Keeb, the day that follows. In 2017, this restoration of order type of energy brought forth many strong reactions to some vile things that had been happening, such as in Charlottesville the day before, and many people came out to take part in anti-hate demonstrations and vigils across the U.S. to denounce racism and violence that was breaking out in so many areas, often instigated by things associated with or emanating from the White House. Many, even then, were calling for an end to that regime. At that time, a tweet by Barack Obama became the most liked tweet in Twitter history when he quoted Nelson Mandela as saying, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin or their background or their religion." Within a very few hours, it had been retweeted over a million times. Andrew Young, an early leader in the civil rights movement and a close confidant of Martin Luther King Jr., was born under this "let's get down to basics and restore order" type of influence. In my blog, I also noted that June 19th, which will be 11 Caban, the energy of change, combined with the force of evolutionary movement, will be in place as Juneteenth comes in, also known as Freedom Day or Jubilee Day, or African American Emancipation Day, since the announcement of the abolition of slavery in the U.S. took place on June 19th in 1865. So this could be another significant day within the context of the current anti-racism protest demonstrations, particularly since the disruptor-in-chief is planning to hold a campaign rally on that day, the first since the start of the COVID-19 crisis. That will take place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where 99 years ago, 36 people were killed during the Tulsa race riots, which have been called the single worst incident of racial violence in American history. That horrific event did not take place within this Monique Tresina, but the fact that this campaign rally is happening in that city at this time will not go unnoticed by many. Another important heads-up day will be 12 Etznab, which is another of those knife-edged kind of energies that can be quite dazzling and attention-getting. Represented by obsidian, which can be made into sharp knives or blades, this energy can really be an enough-is-enough kind of force. It has the potential to bring certain things to a definitive conclusion, or at the very least, really get your attention. This is the Maya birth energy of climate activist and endurance swimmer Lewis Pugh. This past January, wearing only swimming trunks, a cap, and goggles, this 50-year-old intrepid swimmer and climate change activist undertook the first ever swim under an Antarctic ice sheet to demonstrate the very rapid changes caused by climate change. He called this swim the most frightening of his life as he faced the threat of the lake suddenly emptying through a crack in the ice sheet because of the unstable nature of the glaciers and the risk of the water surging into the sea. He said that the swim was the accumulation of 33 years of training in order to swim 10 minutes and 17 seconds down a river beneath the melting ice sheet. But he said he did it because we are in a climate emergency. We need immediate attention from all nations to protect our planet. Here is someone else making very close and personal connections with the natural world. You can read more about him at lewispugh.com. The last day of this time frame, 13 Kawak, or transformational storm, has tremendous potential to be a head-turner as well, as there is an annular solar eclipse and a new moon at this time, just after the summer solstice. This is National Indigenous Peoples Day in Canada, and two cycles exactly since the Indigenous Peoples March in Washington, D.C., to bring awareness through speeches, prayers, songs, and dances to long-term injustices against Indigenous peoples in the U.S., injustices that can be added to the long list of grievances associated with long-term racism in many parts of the world. That is a whole other story. A shameful, dreadful, horrific story that includes the perpetuation of a huge number of atrocities against people, men, women, and children, who were simply trying to live their lives in their own country and their own territories, people who completely understood the importance of showing respect for the earth and its sacred resources and mysteries. And yet they were overrun and terrorized by people who somehow thought themselves superior and entitled to kill and steal and terrorize for their own personal gains. It's a story that's not over, with long unresolved issues. So hopefully the current dialogue will extend to First Nations people matter as well. It is long, long overdue. I just want to mention one individual born under the influence of this powerful storm energy. This was wilderness conservationist Lawrence Anthony, an environmentalist and explorer who was the long-standing head of conservation at the Tula Tula Game Reserve in Zululand, South Africa, and the founder of the Earth Organization dedicated to international conservation. He was highly instrumental in the rescue of several dozen of the larger animals in the Baghdad Zoo at the height of the U.S.-led coalition invasion of Iraq in 2003 under highly dangerous circumstances. He has also helped significantly with the protection of endangered species, including the last of the northern white rhinoceroses. It has been reported that after he died of a heart attack at age 61, some of the elephants he had helped to save came to his family's home to mourn his death, as they would for one of their own. So his was the birth energy of transformational storm, highly compassionate storm, working at the end point of this Monique Tresina. Getting close to wrapping up here, but I want to go back for a moment to Three Mu Luk, which was the birth energy of Nellie McClung, one of Canada's pioneering suffragettes and a member of the famous Five who pushed to have women recognized as persons in Canada. Born under that activating water influence that I talked about earlier, Nellie once advised not to look for safety in this world. There's no safety here, she said. There's only balance. We have not much choice in the mechanics of our lives, the house we live in, the family or race we belong to, the color of our eyes or skin. But in one respect, we have liberty, and that is in our attitude to life. Good advice that still holds up today. As Nellie said, there is only balance, something very strongly connected with the general idea of Monique, something to hold on to as we work our way through this Monique Tresina and beyond. Okay, for anyone listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find more information about all this in my Maya Count of Days horoscope, either by going to whitepuppress.ca and clicking on horoscope blog, or going to mayacalendararts.com and clicking on horoscope blog. That site includes earlier podcasts, other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and some jottings about things that I offer, such as coaching services and personalized artworks. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, especially if you're working on your own personal transformations and wondering how best to use your own birth energy as part of that, there are a number of options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. There are many ways in which to work with these energies, not all of which are listed there. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. I want to finish up here with a poem that ties in with that symbol of the hand that the Maya associated with Monique. It was written by the writer, poet, and broadcaster, Michael Rosen, who is just emerging after spending 47 days in intensive care after coming down with COVID-19. He wrote a poem called These Are the Hands to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the National Health Service. This is the poem. These are the hands that touch us first. Feel your head, find the pulse, and make your bed. These are the hands that tap your back, test the skin, hold your arm, wheel the bin, change the bulb, fix the drip, pour the jug, replace your hip. These are the hands that fill the bath, mop the floor, flick the switch, soothe the sore, burn the swabs, give us a jab, throw out sharps, design the lab. And these are the hands that stop the leaks, empty the pan, wipe the pipes, carry the can, clamp the veins, make the cast, log the dose, and touch us last. A link to Michael Rosen voicing this poem is included in the podcast post. I've also included a link to another version by the Commoners Choir, inspired by him, that extends the idea. Until next time, keep safe, be well, love to you all.